The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
It gives me great pleasure to welcome to studio Shelley Gray, Today FM presenter and registered dietitian, and Dr. Robert Kelly, a consultant cardiologist and lifestyle medicine physician as well, to talk about the health benefits or otherwise of coffee. Shelley, how many cups of coffee do you drink a day?
Don't lie,
because you told me during the ad break.
I would drink easily 5 cups of coffee in the day.
Is that good for you?
Well, this is the thing. Apparently, from the observational research that we've seen in the last decade or so, 3 to 5 cups of coffee is like the sweet spot. That's where we see the benefits of coffee. So I think it's important at this point actually to separate caffeine from coffee. Like caffeine is just one of thousands of really interesting chemicals in coffee that can confer the health benefits that we see. So if you look at the observational research, we see that coffee drinkers tend to have a reduction in death due to cardiovascular disease. And a big study published there in January with over 40,000 adults in the US, they showed you can reduce this risk by about 31%. Also a reduction in all-cause mortality by about 16%. There's some research as well to show coffee drinkers have a reduction in type 2 diabetes risk, in certain cancer risks. There's a lot of research now going into Parkinson's and Alzheimer's. Probably not as robust as the research that we have with cardiovascular disease. I think that's where we're seeing really the benefits coming through.
And that's all coffee as opposed to caffeine on its own.
Exactly, yeah. So if you think of caffeine or coffee, geez, I'm getting mixed up now, coffee. I suppose if we start with caffeine, and caffeine is actually produced in the coffee plant or the coffee cherry. So it grows in a tree. It is a plant food. And it's there actually as a natural insect repellent. And somehow over the last whatever many years, humans thought it would be great to drink this insect repellent and it would give us pleasure. But caffeine is there, obviously. It gives us the alertness, the kind of boost in our reaction time, and it increases short-term memory. It blocks what is called adenosine receptors in our brain, and it prevents adenosine from giving us that feeling of sleepiness. So it gives us that alertness. Obviously, at certain times of the day, that is not good, and we want to prioritize sleep all the time. Also in coffee, you have fiber. Not many people would associate coffee with being a source of fiber. So we're getting about 1.5 grams of fiber in our 200 ml cup of coffee. And then if you're drinking 3 to 5...
So why people go to the toilet after coffee?
No, actually, they go to the toilet because it's more the caffeine actually that's stimulating, things to move faster and move through the colon and out.
So there are all of those health benefits, as you say. Mm-hmm. But I mentioned Robert Kelly as well. Dr. Robert Kelly is with us. Robert, are there certain people, though, for whom coffee is not quite healthy? Maybe they've got underlying conditions.
So I would say that there are a small group of people where coffee may not be suitable for. So if you're a very anxious person, or if you have some mental health issues that make you a bit more anxious, the coffee is probably going to make you more anxious, particularly if you're doing the 3 or the 5 cups a day. I think the other group of people, if you've got high blood pressure, you've got to be careful because too much coffee will put the blood pressure up a little bit further. I think the other group of patients, if you take the menopausal and postmenopausal women, the coffee can reduce your calcium in your bones a little bit. So I think it's something to be aware of. And then pregnant women, sometimes too much coffee can affect the birth weight of the baby. So there's a small group of people where you have to be careful. One of the other interesting things you were talking about, the ingredients in coffee, there's another ingredient in coffee, particularly unfiltered coffee, that can actually increase your cholesterol. So there's a certain group of cardiovascular patients where maybe too much coffee is not so good for you.
And is... all of this true then for, if that's only true of unfiltered coffee, I mean, what about decaffeinated coffee and those other health benefits that Shelley was talking about? If we lose the caffeine, do we still get some other health benefits from it?
But we don't lose the caffeine, Kieran. That's the interesting thing. In the decaffeinated coffee, it's not completely free of caffeine. And even in certain teas, it's not completely free of caffeine. But the benefits from those other compounds that she mentioned that are in coffee, there's more of them in the teas and the decaffeinated coffee. That's where the benefits are there. The study you were mentioning actually shows that caffeinated coffee is a better health benefit than decaffeinated coffee.
And for those subgroups you mentioned then as well, Robert, people with high blood pressure, high cholesterol, people dealing with anxiety, would the advice in those situations be 0 coffee or just not the 3 to 5 cups a day?
Well, so I would tell most of my patients that a little bit of everything is good for you. So I would say you can have the cup of coffee in the morning if you like that, you feel it kind of lifts you in the morning. But I would just try to discourage them from drinking 3 to 5 cups of coffee a day. I would try to encourage a lot of those patients to try and drink more tea, in truth, because it has better products in it that are better for your health than necessarily what coffee has in it.
Shelley, when Robert mentions the kind of time of day as well, maybe a coffee in the morning, how important is the impact that coffee can have on our sleep?
Oh, so important.
In terms of our health.
I think if you looked at things that affect your health the most, and this is coming from a dietitian who would always put food and diet first, but sleep, absolutely sleep is at the top of that pyramid. And you do not want caffeine affecting your sleep, because if it does, it just negates all the benefits that you would have, that you would have gotten from the coffee. So I would stop drinking your coffee about 10 hours before you plan to go to sleep. So if you're going to sleep at 10 o'clock at night, definitely stop drinking your coffee, your caffeinated coffee,
and
at noon.
Does it keep you awake, or is it just the quality of sleep you get is impacted?
Great question, actually, because I used to be quite smug and say, no, this has no effect on me. I drink a cup of coffee after my dinner and would sleep no problem, but that doesn't mean the quality of my sleep was good. And that's what I've learned in recent years. So I am definitely no caffeinated coffee afternoon.
But and decaf.
Decaf, absolutely. Yeah.
What do you lose in the cup of decaf that you're getting in the
Actually, when they have looked at decaf coffee, you get the same amount of fibre, which is a modest amount of fibre, but it's still notable in the diet, especially in Ireland. Like, we're only getting about 18 grams of fibre in our diet a day when we should be getting about 30 grams. So if you're getting like 4 to 7 grams of fibre from coffee, that's definitely a huge benefit. So you still get the fibre in decaf coffee. You still get the polyphenols, which is something I haven't even talked about yet. This is probably one of the most important components of coffee, are these polyphenols, which are these defense chemicals in plants. And it just so happens that they're really, really good for us. They feed our gut microbiome, and in turn they can have antioxidant benefits. They can have anti-inflammatory benefits, and there has been research as well to show that coffee drinkers have a particular strain of bacteria that no other, like the non-coffee drinkers, don't have. And this would indicate that, you know, the coffee is having an impact on the microbiome and all the additional benefits.
As usual, people text in looking for health advice to the radio station instead of maybe going to their doctor. But I'll read the text anyway, Robert. Why can I sometimes feel my heart beating quickly after I have a cup of coffee, wonders somebody?
Because of the exact reasons that are just mentioned as to what's in the coffee, and it's largely the caffeine. And I mean, one of your questions about when you stop drinking coffee, the average cup of coffee stays in the system, the caffeine effect, for about 7 or 8 hours. That's why it's important to stop drinking coffee earlier in the day if it's affecting your sleep. I personally find that I switch to decaf in the afternoon because I find the caffeinated will give me heart palpitations as I try to go to bed at night. So I think it's something to be considered. And you've got to consider if you're drinking other products that have caffeine in them, like fizzy drinks or alcohol, that those all mixing in with coffee tend to give you a lot of other symptoms as well.
And somebody else, I think, picked up on the point you were making about calcium, because they said, is coffee bad for you if you've been diagnosed with osteoporosis?
Well, I think it's just associated with an impact on osteoporosis. But again, as I said, you can have a cup of coffee. I think you just have to look after your osteoporosis, be it through your exercise, be it through your diet, as is mentioned, and also through your calcium intake or the treatments you get for the osteoporosis.
All right. Well, listen, I'm kind of going to spirit the St. Augustine, isn't it? Lord, make me chaste, but not yet, because I've definitely had too much coffee today, but I'm not going to start my abstemious approach to it until tomorrow. I promise tomorrow. Shelley Gray, Today FM presenter, registered dietitian, Dr. Robert Kelly, consultant cardiologist and lifestyle medicine physician. Thank you both very much.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.